talk, then you adjust it? Okay, gotcha. Good evening. Things look different from up here than down there. We'll just begin the service this evening with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this is your service. We desire with all that is within us to be guided by your Holy Spirit. Father, fill us to overflowing tonight. Help us, dear Lord, to enter in a way that we have not known before. For Lord, we believe that you are leading us on, that you are teaching us as we walk this way, that you are showing us by your Spirit what you require of us. And Father, we desire to be guided by your Spirit in all that we do. For Lord, if you show the way, we can follow. Help us in this, we pray. Bless this service. Bless each one that is in attendance here. Father, may ears be open to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church in the hour in which we live. For it is a serious hour, and yet it is a glorious hour. Bless us now together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There are a couple of things that I'd like to do at the outset. One is that Brother Ewald Wanigus would like to bring you his greetings from Edmonton, and of course would like to be with us. I'm not coming through here?
For some reason.
Okay.
So, use that one for a moment, would you?
So, greetings from who? So, greetings from Brother Wanigus. Secondly, Brother Ken Kechter has had a heart condition. He's had heart surgery, but he suffers still, or more recently perhaps, from more complications and problems with his heart. And there is speculation that there may be blockage or whatever might be the problem or the medical terms for that. We do know that there is a great physician that is ever near to us, that is ever interested in our welfare. And we would like to remember Ken this evening. Would you stand, please? Father, as we stand in your presence tonight, we remember Brother Kechter. Father, he has suffered much with this condition. And Lord, we pray that even now as we speak, that your presence would overshadow him, that your Spirit would come with healing, and it would touch our brother in his area of need. Father, let healing flow. For we know that healing is in the atonement. It is that virtue that flows from the risen Christ. And Father, we pray in one accord, in unison tonight, that You will touch our brother, that You will set him free, that You will deliver him from this bondage. Lord, let Your word just go forth and do the work that is required in his physical body. Bless him and his wife and whatever needs that she may have as well. We just pray for those needs, dear Lord. Let that miraculous touch be upon both of them, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Now, I think I'm going to maybe make a little change. It just feels better on this side. I don't know why that is. But if I'm going to speak into it, something like that. Should I keep speaking or should I be quiet? I can speak then. That's what you mean. I had a little time this afternoon to be by myself. All by myself. I love that. Not all the time by myself, but once in a while. And there are a few thoughts that I have that I like to express before we sing. And we're going to sing, so you'll bear with me. I'd like to ask you a question. What is beauty? Are you thinking about that? What is beauty? Not so easy to define, is it? There's an old saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I suppose there's some truth in that. But you know, if it wasn't true, I guess we'd all have the same, our houses would be the same color. We'd have all the same furniture in them. All of our consumer goods would be the same because we would see beauty the same way. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That's not the way it is it? We're all different as far as how we see things. I suppose as men, we would all want the same woman. As women, you would all want the same man. But thank goodness that's not the way it is. Or it would be a pretty difficult kind of world. We see beauty in different ways. Beauty is hard to describe because it goes far deeper than the depth of the skin. How many here are in love? I'm watching you, Irene. You know, that's a pretty simple question. And some of you didn't know how to respond to that. And I'll tell you why, because you weren't expecting it. I'm speaking here of on the human natural level. All of us here are in love with someone. You know, I look at a picture on the wall at home every once in a while, and it's our marriage picture. The day we got married. And I look at that picture, and I think, I look at myself and I say, what happened? And I look at Irene and I say, what happened? I'm honest. 44 years happened. That's what happened. You know something? The day we got married, it's about exactly 44 years ago, I was in love with her. It's never changed. It's the same today as far as the love is concerned, only it's deeper. 44 years have resulted in a deeper relationship and a deeper love. And how we look doesn't matter after 44 years. I had dark colored hair, just a few gray here and there. I look quite a bit different. But I don't think that changes a love relationship. I don't think that should change a love relationship. I read this one time. I'd like to quote it to you. If you would walk in beauty, stay in love. There's no garment more becoming than love. No vitamin more invigorating. No cosmetic more glamorizing. Beauty never fades where love is present. I thought quite a bit of truth in that statement. I don't know who said it. I just picked it up. See, I only quote people because I can't think of things like that. Beauty never fades where love is present. The Bible has quite a few things to say about beauty. Let me give you kind of an interesting one. Proverbs 20:29. The beauty of old men is the gray head. Irene sees beauty every day. But she didn't realize it till now. However, there is a beauty in the realm of the spirit that transcends natural and material beauty. It is a beauty that is found in the very nature of Christ. A nature that He wants us all to possess. If you forget everything I've said tonight, I'd like you to remember that. He has a nature, He possesses a nature, He possessed and possesses a nature that He wants us all to have and to possess. The songwriter captured the essence of that in the words, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All His wonderful passion and purity. O Thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine. till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. You see, it's a refining process. That's what we are in, brothers and sisters, right now. It's a refining process. What God wants is pure gold. He is not satisfied with 99%. He wants you whole. He wants you complete in Him, refined by His refining process. That takes some heat sometimes. At least what I read about refining, and I don't know very much about it, but I know that heat is part of it. And heat may not feel so good sometimes. We've already heard about that to some extent in these camp meetings. But He is refining. He is touching you here. He is touching you there. He is changing you. He is transforming you. Praise the Lord. That is what Jesus does. And it will bring you forth if you will submit to it. If you will be obedient to it. It will change you. It will transform you, hallelujah, into His image and into His very likeness. If we don't believe that, if we have walked this way all of these many years and we don't believe that, we could just as well go home and watch our television sets or whatever else you would like to do. Because that's what it's about. It is about change. And it is about transformation of your very life. To be more and more like Jesus until you come forth in His image and in His likeness. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is an inner beauty. This is not external. It's that that is of the heart. You see, when you really come to know someone, you begin to know their heart. If I thought I knew my wife 44 years ago, I was mistaken. Oh, I knew her a little. I knew her enough that I wanted to marry her. But you know, in 44 years, I have come to know her. Oh, not totally. Let me let you in on a little secret, fellas, especially if you're younger than I am. You will never know her completely. She'll throw a curve at you every once in a while. It's kind of like a batter. You know, I watch quite a bit of baseball. I like the Blue Jays, you see. You know, that batter stands up there and he's anticipating a fastball. And the pitcher is thinking that he's anticipating a fastball. So he says, you know what, I'll throw him a curve. He throws him a curve and he swings and misses. Why? Because he was expecting a fastball. And so we get some fastballs thrown at us once in a while. Or we get some curves thrown at us once in a while. But that doesn't change the love relationship. That's the beauty of being married to a woman. Is that it's a partly a mystery. You don't fully get to know her. Because there's always a little mystery there. And I like that. I'm just throwing that in, you know, for some of you guys, in case you didn't know that. But if you've been married for a while, you probably do. Now, I would like to sing tonight, maybe more than one song along this line, but one of them that I want to sing is the one that I just mentioned. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Do you know it? Musicians? You'd like to stand? Again, now, just a minute. Sing this with a little eagerness. You're not really into it. Let's do it with a little more enthusiasm. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. All His wonderful passion and purity. I long to possess the purity of Christ. I long to possess the compassion of Christ. I long to possess His attitude of servitude. I long to possess the sacrificial love that He demonstrated when He went to the cross of Calvary for every sinner. Oh, Spirit Divine, refine this nature of mine.
Yes.
Till the beauty of Jesus is seen in me. You know, you're from very many different places. And wherever you go back to, whatever city it is, whatever town it is, whatever farm it is, wherever you go, what does He want of you? What does He require of you? That you show forth Christ. That's all. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whoever you associate with, whoever you meet, that you show forth Christ. That is beauty. That is Christ. What is more beautiful than Christ? His nature, His compassion, and all that He is. Sing. Praise God.
Red, white,
No, He accepted us just the way we were, or just the way we are. He just has accepted us with all of our shortcomings, with all of our weaknesses, with all of our flaws. He just said, come. And when we came, we were accepted. He gave us beauty for ashes. All we had to give Him was ashes. And the Scripture says He gave us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. But you know something? He saw you in that condition, accepted you, and He saw what you could become. Not what you were or what you even are today, but what you could become. What the potential was there. You know, sometimes I've gotten a little glimmer of that when I've been in a classroom. You see a struggling student. But somehow you get a little glimpse of what is really there. Of what that young person can become. With all of their struggles and all that they're going through in learning, you see what they can become, or he or she can become. You know, how much more God sees the end from the beginning. He saw you before you were born, before the foundation of the earth, the Scripture says. I don't understand that, but that's what the Scripture says. And He knew you. And He knew that you would be standing here today. He knows all your history, and He knows what is ahead. He gave us beauty for our ashes. Can we sing it? Your soul. I'm in love, deeply in love with the lover of my soul. Hallelujah. Isn't that a song?
Yes.
Well, then let's sing it. If somebody, I don't know how many red books there are here, but I imagine it's in here. Do we know it by heart? Or?
Okay. 57 in the back.
57 in the back? I'm in love, deeply in love, with the lover of my soul. I will sing praise to my King while the years of eternity roll. His love is in my heart, never to depart. His blood has made me whole. I'm in love with Jesus, the lover of my soul. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You may be seated. Just before I call on Brother Brian tonight, I'd like to say this. Being in love with Jesus and having Him love you is what motivates all other love relationships. I don't think that we could really enter into that in a full and complete way without that love first existing between ourselves and our Savior. It motivates how we love one another and the relationships we have with family, with friends, with the church family, and so on. I'd like to just turn to a couple or three scriptures. Two of them are found in the Psalms. First of all, 90:17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And 96:6. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. What sanctuary? The sanctuary that you are. The temple that you are. The one made without hands, in which dwells the Holy Spirit. The temple in which Christ dwells. Praise the Lord. And the other one I'd like to refer to is Ecclesiastes 3:11. He makes everything beautiful in His time. You know, we got to remember that God's time is different than ours. We pretty much are clock oriented, aren't we? Got to be here at this time, got to be there at that time. We're clock oriented. God's time is different. He takes the time He needs to take. And I'm glad He does. Because He took quite a bit of time with me and it still is. I expect He is with you. But let me repeat what I said before. He wants gold. He wants pure gold. He wants you whole. He wants you complete. He wants you to sell out completely to Him. Not just part, but all of your heart. Brother Hannigan, come.
Saints of God, we're here because we're not expecting things from men, but from God. And I'd like us to have that in mind in this meeting, that God is wanting to speak to hearts, and that those of us who are at the front will be somewhat out of the way, but the Spirit of God will deal with our hearts. Before I start, I'd like, if Sister Ev Levson here? Oh, right at the back. That's good. I'd like you to open in prayer from there if someone would bring you a mic. There's a man who needs prayer. His name is Dwayne Reddy. Perhaps only the person who's here who gave the request would know that person, but they've been in jail for many years and their heart is very hard. They're about to get out. So is there a microphone for Sister Evelyn? Would you just open the meeting in prayer, please, and ask a blessing and pray for Dwayne Reddy as well.
Father, we just thank You for Your love, Your unfailing love for us, Lord. Father, we desire to walk with You with all of our hearts. Lord, just bring this need to You tonight, Lord. You know all the details. Father, You know the need. Father, we just ask that Your hand would reach out, Father, and You would meet the need. Father, You would answer our prayer tonight. Father, we just pray for the moving of Your Holy Spirit in this meeting and all the meetings to come at our camp and this week, Lord. Father, that our hearts would be open to You, Lord, that we would enter into Your presence. Love our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just before coming over, my dad suggested that I let you stand up during my message in case you fell asleep. So I asked him then to be the go-to person, and I said, if you stand up, I'll have everybody stand up, and if you fall asleep, I'll have everybody stand up. And I notice he's moved from here to way back there, so. Marjorie and I enjoyed some time in December, just about 9 days in Jamaica. We'd never been there before. We had the privilege of going to a different part of the island on Sunday for a service, and we were with some saints there, lovely Christian people that have been in touch with some of the traveling brethren from the islands. And we got to meet Brother Jared and Brother Aston and Lydia Jared. No, got it right here. Jared and Lydia Aston. I always have trouble with their remembering the order of his name. But when it came time for me to minister, he'd asked me to minister. Before that, he asked the intercessors in the meeting to stand and to begin to pray. And he just gave them liberty, and they just, without any one of them being the main one praying, they all just prayed together as a body and just sought God. And I have to tell you, it made ministering, it created such a wonderful atmosphere for ministering, and I appreciated it. And then when I was finished with my message and came down, then they had all the intercessors come up, and they stood around Marjorie and I and blessed us, and we were blessed. It was a highlight for us, and we're thankful to God for those experiences we have. Tonight I feel a little bit lost. That's why I want us to really rely on the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we minister, maybe it's the same for some of you, you'll kind of get a map out there and you kind of know where you're going and so forth. And other times, which is a bit like tonight, I'm a little uncertain how God is wanting to lead, so we're just going to go a step at a time. But one of the things I want to make sure I mention tonight is how God works in revelation in the church. He doesn't work through Facebook. He doesn't work through electronic media. He works through a proper order, and he brings revelation by the Holy Spirit, generally through the brethren that he has set over us through an apostolic foundation that brings the order to the church. But what we find as we look back over the years that we're familiar with, and some of you have been in this move of the Spirit many years more than me, that when God reveals something, then there's a responsibility on us to embrace it, and many times the understanding doesn't come till after we walk in it. And it's very much like parenting. You know a lot about parenting till you have kids. And then you begin to really learn what it's like to be a parent. And it seems that in the realm of the Spirit, that God is wanting to circumvent our carnal inclination to learn things in the natural way. The carnal way is that I will, if I can see it, I'll believe it. But in the realm of the Spirit, we adopt things by faith, and as we walk in them, then God reveals them. And I was had the privilege of chatting with a couple of sisters in the Lord last night. They're a bit younger than I am, a fair bit younger than me, but haven't been in this move of the Spirit for very long, just a decade or so perhaps. But I noticed when they began to talk about the revelation of the head covering for women, that they had a tremendous understanding that God had given to them about the head covering because they entered into it. You enter in and then you understand. And that's the way it is. It's a walk by faith. And they talked about, they shared with me, and I was blessed about how in many instances they find that head covering gives them such a protection and such a blessing. And one sister mentioned that when she's particularly struggling with something, she'll even wear a head covering simply for that reason, just to get more of God's help, if God would help her that way, to have that covering just to show God that she wants to walk in that way. And whether it's men not wearing head coverings or women wearing head coverings, whatever the revelation that God has for us, we want to walk in it, don't we? And just let Him move upon us and show us His way. In John chapter 14, let's turn together to that. If you have your Bible and can follow along, John chapter 14, and starting with verse 15. What I want us to be very conscious of this evening is that God is here, and He wants to strengthen each one of us in this room. He wants every one of us to leave this meeting having been changed according to what we sang already, that there more of His beauty, more of the nature of Christ would be in us. But it says here, and this is reading from the New King James Version, "If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper." And the King James would say a comforter, but the word in the Greek is paraclete. A paraclete is an advocate. A paraclete is a helper, someone who comes alongside you and stays with you to the end. So Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a helper that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Saints of God, God only offers what's best. And what He gives is always excellent. Amen? What He offers will never be second rate. It will always be the best there is, the best there possibly can be, and it always is part of Himself. And so the Holy Spirit, we struggle with having a full understanding of the Trinity, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and yet we ourselves are triune beings. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are one, and yet we have those aspects. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. They are one. And if you can't wrap your head around that, well, welcome to the club. Because there are many mysteries in Christ. There are many things that are acceptable by faith, and we don't need to understand, but we can believe. Have you ever been there where you felt you could believe even though you didn't understand because the Spirit of God was there helping you to believe? And that is the pathway. The understanding comes. Some things God will not explain to us here because it just isn't necessary. But the Holy Spirit comes to help us. And you see this, if listen to this, saints of God, if Jesus prayed the Father to send a helper, then we must agree that we need help. Right? Isn't that, can you please admit that to yourself right now? That, Lord, I need help. Because if He wants to send a helper, it's because we need help. So it's God's priority to send us a helper. And God's help is perfect. Amen? The enemy of our soul colludes with our carnal nature to provide substitutes for relying on the Holy Spirit. There are many substitutes. Today, somewhere in here, I wrote a list of things that thrill us in the natural, things that we get excited about, technology, physical prowess. I like to watch the Olympics. There's sports, there's entertainment, there's mental acuity. You might admire somebody who's brilliant. There's crafty speech. You might have an excellent speaker that amazes you. Talented musicians, tremendous writings that you enjoy. You might be intrigued by wealth. You might be intrigued by beauty or human creativity. But all of these things can be a substitute for concentrating on what God really wants us to concentrate on, and that is to adore Him and to let Him be our passion. He doesn't mind us being passionate, but He wants us to have a passion that is based on the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have a passion that's based on Christ. Saints of God, this is a walk that gets narrower and narrower. And the church is sometimes accused of being narrow-minded. But I tell you that when the Holy Spirit works on us, He opens our mind and opens our understanding to reality. And many scales come off our eyes and we understand many wonderful things. But still the path that Jesus said, there is a path that is narrow, that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And you will find that as you walk with the Lord, that God is making your pathway narrower and narrower until, I believe, we'll come to the place where it's simply us in the center of God's will and we stay there. I'm looking for that, Brother Sunbo, as you talked and encouraged us this evening. Oh, that we could have His purity. Oh, that we could have His loveliness and His stability. I'm longing for those things. But I realize as I walk on the straight and narrow road, there are two ditches. One is a ditch of carnality and one is a ditch that looks super spiritual. But we want to be centered in Christ. And if we fall into one ditch or the other, He'll help us get out and to keep on our pathway. God wants us to walk with Him in the Spirit. The Scripture says that knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. Human beings love to know. But the currency of the kingdom of God is not knowledge. It's faith. It's faith in God. That's the Dow Jones. That's the stock exchange that we're interested in is faith. And when we have faith, God will add the other things to us. He will bring understanding by His Spirit. Knowledge puffs up. There is in the tabernacle in the wilderness, when God asked Moses to set the tabernacle up in the wilderness, all of the many intricacies that were there. One of the interesting things is that although the children of Israel had many sheep in their flocks, there wasn't one garment that contained wool. There was no wool in any of the priestly garments. They were all made of linen. And wool speaks of human effort because wool produces sweat, perspiration. And that is a type and shadow. Wool is a type and shadow of human effort. And in the priesthood, there was no wool. And God is shaping a people who are learning to be led by the Spirit, who are learning to be non-reliant on self, but fully reliant on the Spirit of God. One of the things that is peculiar about any move of the Spirit of God, and that is that God is wanting the anointing of the Holy Spirit to never be replaced by human structure. It has been said at the beginning of this move that most of us are familiar with, that God would so move in our midst that if He ever removed His anointing, there wouldn't be anything here. That only His Holy Spirit is keeping us together. And so I want to caution us that although we are a very social and loving people, we can never let the church be resting on social relationships. The church must rest on the anointing and the moving of the Holy Spirit. And on that foundation, then we see the loving and enjoyable relationships that we have with one another. Amen? But God is always jealous about the church, that it's based on the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of Christ in the church, and that we don't get structured in such a way that if His Holy Spirit was removed, we would still carry on. God has set it up that way. So now we are wanting to press on, but we need His help. I believe we are at a crucial time. I really appreciated the message this morning that implored us to let Him love us, let Him lead us. Amen. Let Him be everything to us. Tonight I believe that God wants to help us more. He wants to deal with some of the things in our lives that are obstacles to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Are you willing tonight? Am I willing? Can you answer that? Not to me, but to God. Are you willing to go a little closer tonight? Do you know that the little baby that's being rocked here has an inborn hunger? That little babies crave food? Some of you, I can tell, do too. But we all do, don't we? In the natural, we crave food. We don't really have to work up some kind of an attitude to enjoy food. It's natural in us. But in the realm of the Spirit, I believe it's different. I believe in the realm of the Spirit, the hungering and thirsting is a choice. I think we have to choose to hunger and thirst. That's what I feel that God was wanting to speak to us about tonight. Will you choose to hunger and thirst for more? God has more for us. Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And tonight I believe that God wants to open the altar, that some of you who want prayer can come forward. I believe that that's what He has in mind. I know that I really feel I need more of His Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that many of you are feeling that. If you're not feeling that, you can deal with that with your will. For the Scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can say, Lord, help me with my stubbornness. Help me with my lack of hunger. Help me to long for more of You. Amen? That's something that everyone in this room can do. I want to just say to you that there's a Scripture that's very precious to me. It says that we, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. I believe that's 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Sometimes the obstacle to us receiving more of the Lord is that we don't really believe that He wants to help us. That there's something interfering in our minds that says, I'm not worthy, or I'm not that important. Anybody ever felt that way? That God isn't interested? But it's not true. God is interested. And what God wants us to do is to come to that place in the Scripture. It says, but we, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Have you ever thought of looking in the mirror and confessing that you are the temple and that I can now see the glory of God in me? I'm not talking about pride. That will actually get rid of pride. But I'm thinking that because the enemy, we are not ignorant of his devices, but one of his devices is to make us think that he's not at work in us. And then it changes our confession. But our confession should be that we not only see Christ in one another, but God wants us to see him being glorified in ourselves. Amen? I think that's an obstacle we need to get over, is that we're not worthy. I think that God wants, I know that God wants us to see himself in us, glorifying himself. Not that we are anything, but that he is everything and he is all in all in us. Praise God. Philosophy and doctrine will not do it. Philosophy and putting your mind to the things of God, when we know the Scripture says that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts, then it should cripple any idea that we have that we can figure this out through our intellect. That is not the way it works. Philosophy and doctrine are as helpful to you as giving a book about water to someone who's thirsty. They'll know a lot about water, but it won't satisfy. It is the relationship with Jesus. It's the relationship that comes to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we try to do things by the natural realm, we are producing straw and there's no nourishment in it. But if we walk in the Spirit, then we will walk in the way that is beneficial to every part of our lives and every life round and about us. So let us just stand, if you would, please. If we could have musicians come. I really believe it's a good time. to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. Some of you did this morning. But there may be more who want to come forward. Maybe you want to rededicate yourself where you are. But I believe we need the touch of the Holy Spirit more in our lives than ever before. The time is crucial, I believe. These are perilous times. They are times when we are in danger if we don't walk in step with God. And I believe that when He invites us on to a higher level, it's because it's essential. It's His timing is that we need to press on to more. So let's just sing that song, I'm Pressing on the Upward Way. And then, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. And if you feel you want to come forward and get any kind of help at all from the Lord, or if you want help right there where you are, however you wanted God to deal with you, however you want to handle this, there will be those who will pray with you as you come forward. But God is going to help every person in this room. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm thank you. some of those that are needing prayer. To be
oh, want nothing for myself, but for Jesus. I want not my will, but thine eternally. O create of me what thou wouldst have me be.
Just begin to intercede on behalf of your own needs and those at the front. Let's just seek God with all of our hearts in the moments that are remaining. Let's raise our voices. Let's not be afraid to cry out unto God, for He will hear our cry. He will hear our prayer. Hallelujah, Lord. We need you, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord. Help us, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be shy of raising your voice before the Lord in the congregation. It's a wonderful place to intercede before the Lord. Tell Him how you feel that you want more of Him tonight. Don't leave until you've held the horns of the altar, and you won't leave till you're satisfied. Again, to raise your voice to the Lord. Raise your hands if necessary. Make a petition with God that you're not going to settle for anything less. Like Brother Swan said tonight, we need to woo God too. He woos us, but we need to woo Him. Oh Lord, I need You. Come and help me, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you fail to speak in tongues where you are, just pray unto Him and raise your voice. Hallelujah. I'm just going to ask you all to stand and let us raise our hearts, and if you like, your hands to the Lord as we sing, "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am." Let's just really implore Him. Let's woo God tonight. Let's make our tabernacle a place where He will feel not only invited but welcome to stay forever. Let's sing that, "I pledge allegiance."
I pledge allegiance.
pledge an allegiance to you corporately as a people. Yes. Dear Lord, we pray that every person in this room will feel the call to march together as one people. Dear Lord, that we will not let go of one another. We'll pray for one another. For we know that there will be many struggles ahead, for the Scripture has foretold it. But Lord, we know that with you we are more than conquerors through Christ. And so we will pray for one another in the time to come. We will not let anyone go. Lord, we will enlarge the pegs of our tents to include many that are not here, many that may feel disqualified, many that have lost their way, some who have been rejected by the church. Lord, whatever their situation, Father, we pray that we would have an open heart to receive many, dear Lord, that we would see nations, we would see colors, we would see languages, we would see peoples of all kinds, those who are the outcasts, Lord, those who are on the perimeter, those who are would never be considered. We pray that you would bring in the very poor and the very wealthy, and they would kneel together before you, dear Lord, and that we would together partake of the riches of Christ, that we would be poor in spirit but rich in Christ, O Lord. We pray that you would train us by your Holy Spirit in a way that is not the training of our mind, but by the very indwelling and the transformation of our nature, dear Lord, that we take on the new nature of Christ according to your new covenant, dear Lord, and this old nature would be eroded and be cast away, dear Lord, that we would be free from the bondage of corruption, dear Lord. Father, we need you more and more. We don't want personalities to be known. We don't want names to be known. We want to be a people walking in your humility and walking in your glory, not conscious of ourselves, but conscious of the needs of others and feeling the power of Christ within us to help those around about us, dear Lord. Give us the new nature that is not about us, not about developing ourselves, not about developing our reputation. For you are the King that made yourself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, Lord. Help us to have servant hearts from here on in, a new attitude, dear Lord, ready to forgive those who have offended us, O Lord. Ready to forgive those who have been unkind to us and thoughtless, dear Lord. And a full forgiveness that we won't want to tell stories about them anymore, about what they did to us. But Lord, the forgiveness would be so complete, dear Lord, that we would pray that we would meet in the kingdom of God together with those who've offended us, Lord. Change us completely, dear Lord. We know that that's what you came to do, to make us in your likeness and your image. We pray that every service from here on in and every time of fellowship will be just stepping higher and higher and deeper and deeper, and that, Lord, we'll be more committed to the way that is narrow, that we won't be interested in pleasing the world, that, Lord, we'll realize that friendship with the world is enmity with God, that the only relationship we'll have with the world will be a heart of compassion, Lord, that our we'll love them, dear Lord, that we won't despise them and we won't respect their systems, but we will be the church. The church will be different. The church will be yours, dear Lord. Yes, oh, Father, we just thank you for this meeting tonight. We just pray for each of us here that we will have been changed because of what you've done in us, Lord. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.